the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Okay, we're just going to spend a little bit of time, very little bit of time, thinking about then what on earth this has to do with us. So Tom has shown us the great knowledge that God had and has for the future. But what we're going to be thinking about a little bit more is God's wisdom. So I don't know what you think about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. If you've heard my favourite explanation of it is that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. So that's quite a good way to think of it. If you're struggling, we can know a lot of things, but what we do with it requires wisdom. Wisdom is built up over time, and we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about God's wisdom in this story. On your tables, or at the side, or in the green, the red boxes at the back, you might have found a Bible. I suggest that you have that open if you're looking in this Bible, which is the one that I'm going to be using. Then it's on page 1011. If you are looking in the green Bibles, it's 839. And if you're looking on your phone, you can figure that out. Okay. So we're going to look a little bit then at the different characters in the story and what they did with the problem that they had, where they went to for wisdom. So we're going to think about what was their problem and where did they look for wisdom. But I'm a teacher and you have to do a little bit of the work. So we're going to have group one are going to be thinking a little bit about Nebuchadnezzar. So that can be everybody on the red chairs over here and the first kind of row, column of tables. You're going to be thinking about Nebuchadnezzar. These two columns of tables down here, kind of between the two pillars at the back, you're going to be thinking a little bit about the wise men, or were they that wise? And then everybody else over here, you're going to be thinking about Daniel. Well done. Okay, quite easy, that one. So just for about, really, really quick, maybe 40 seconds, ish. Can you have a quick look in the Bible, a quick talk to the people around you if you're comfortable doing that, otherwise have a think for yourself. What was your character's problem and where did they look for wisdom? 38 seconds. Off you go. Okay, let's have a think together then and see if we have come up with some similar things. So we're going to start by thinking about Nebuchadnezzar. So over on this side, you might have picked out that his problem was that he didn't know what the dream meant. That was his problem. Bit of a recurring theme. He was greatly troubled by the dream and he wants answers. He wants to know, he wants to understand. So what did he do? What did he do? Well, his first response was to seek answers from a whole range of wise men, also called wise men. Verse 2, if you're looking in the International Children's Bible, says, "So the king called for his fortune tellers, magicians, wizards, and wise men. The king wanted those men to tell him what he had dreamed." But when his chosen advisors can't tell him what he wants to know, he becomes very angry and frustrated. He'd relied on them before, but with a more difficult problem, they couldn't provide the wisdom that he needed. Seeking answers from things other than God led him to anger and frustration. These men couldn't help him, and that made him furious. So he relied on different people, but not God. Where are the places, or who are the people that we look to for wisdom? Do we rely on friends, on family? Do we Google it? Do we look to influencers and celebrities? Do we trust people we think are experts? This is not a bad thing, but if we're not going to God, then we're not going to the source of wisdom, and we will ultimately be let down. Okay, group two, you guys, we're thinking about the wise men. So I don't know if anybody spotted what their problem was. What was the wise men's problem? They had kind of two. They had an initial problem and then a second problem. So they couldn't interpret the dream, which meant that they were in danger of death. Pretty big problem. Okay, did you notice though, they started really confident. They've came in sounding very confident. Verse 4, again back in the Children's Bible, says, "Then the wise men answered the king in the Aramaic language. They said, 'Our king, live forever. We are your servants. Please tell us your dream, then we will tell you what it means.'" Perhaps they thought they could make something up to please the king when they hear the dream. Perhaps they think they will actually be able to interpret it when they've heard it. Either way, they are relying on themselves. Where did they go to wisdom? For wisdom? They were relying on themselves, their own wisdom, their own power. And when Nebuchadnezzar changes the rules on them, what do? They can't rely on themselves anymore. Verse 10 says, "The wise men answered the king. They said, 'No one on earth can do what the king asks. Not even a great and powerful king has ever asked the fortune tellers, magicians, or wise men to do this.' They say that it's impossible. If they can't do it, then nobody can." Do we do that sometimes? Do we rely on our own wisdom and understanding when faced with a problem? Do we think that we know best? It can be very easy to do that, particularly in our culture, which values trusting your gut and trusting your own judgment. So finally, we come to Daniel. I wonder if you spotted what his problem was over here. It's actually the same, isn't it? They all had the same problem. None of them on their own could interpret the dream. And he, like the other wise men, is in danger of death. But he responds completely differently. Verse 14 onwards says, "Arioch was the commander of the king's guards. He was going to put to death the wise men of Babylon. But Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and skill. Daniel asked, 'Why did the king order such a terrible punishment?' Then Arioch explained everything to Daniel. When Daniel heard the story, he went to King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel asked him to give him some more time. Then he would tell the king what he had dreamed and what it meant." So Daniel knows that he's in huge danger, but he responds calmly with wisdom and skill. He relied on God. The difference between him and the others is that he's not relying on himself. He still doesn't know what's going on, but he trusts that God does. He was able to remain calm when under pressure because of his close relationship with God. He was utterly convinced of God's faithfulness, which then affects his actions. Verse 17. "So Daniel went to his house. He explained the whole story to his friend. I'm going to then skip the names. Daniel asked his friends to pray to the God of heaven. Daniel asked them to pray that God would show them mercy and help them understand this secret. Then Daniel and his friends would not be put to death with the other wise men of Babylon. During the night, God explained the secret to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. Daniel said, 'Praise God forever and ever. He has wisdom and power. He changes the times and seasons of the year. He takes away the power of the kings and he gives their power to new kings. He gives wisdom to people so they become wise and he helps people learn and know new things.'" So Daniel's first response is to rely on God for wisdom, and he trusts that he will receive it. Then when he does, he gives God the praise. So just as we finish off our time together, think about us. What's our first reaction when we need wisdom or help? Do we remember to praise God when we receive wisdom or help. What can make this hard? In just a moment, Michelle's going to come and lead us in a little bit of prayer and reflection on that, but we'll just take a moment to either think about that yourself, or if you want to talk to the people around you, just as we swap over, then feel free.